We're on the Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The truth is, we stopped on when we learned on Shiva Sabatama's list. We stopped in the middle of the sugya because of the timing and because I wasn't sure about what exactly last sugya meant. But as a result, I think we should start from the Mishnah over again from the beginning of Halacha Dalet. That's the upshot of that introduction. Eved Shenishba, a slave was taken to captivity. And they was redeemed by other individuals. L'shem Eved, for the purpose of becoming an Eved again. Yishtab Eid, it goes back into slavery. L'shem Menachem is redeemed for the purpose of freedom. Lo Yishtab Eid, it doesn't go back into slavery. Regardless, it goes back into slavery again, no matter what. Eved Shaso Rabba Putiki Lachem, an Eved who was made designated collateral for others. The Shichoro, and he was redeemed. Shura Sadin, according to the strict letter of law, Eina Eved Chayev Klum, the Eved does not owe anything, right? His master released him. Even though the Eved was designated collateral to somebody else on his loan, nevertheless, that's not the Eved's problem. He was released. He just goes scot free. However, because in this case we compel the master who makes him free. Now it's not clear exactly what case we're compelling the master to make him free, because it's talking about a case obviously we already freed him, but rather the stress here is the Kosev Shtar Adama, the Eved writes an IOU on his own release money. But since he was made collateral for a loan, so therefore we make him write an IOU to the individual to whom he was designated as collateral for his value. And of course, Gemara's going to ask, why? What's it his problem that his first master released him? It's not his issue. It's not necessary to write such an IOU. You just redeem, he's just released, and that's it. Okay, then what is going to explain? All these things. Rabbi Shem Chizkia said, "Bedinu." Now, this is a very basic machlokes in Ravo and Rabbi Ila. First, Rabbi Avo. Rabbi says, "Then Chizkia, bedinu halacha should dictate shafizu shem eved, even if he was redeemed for the purpose of becoming a slave again, lo yishtabed, he should not go back at the avdus. Why? Because once he's taken captive by goyim, his first master has given up hope on ever giving him back." Yeush, and therefore he should go free. Why do they say, however, that if he's redeemed for the purpose of slavery, that he must go back to being a slave? Mean it should be mean rabo v'yimsaratzmo, going back to the Gemara's text itself, l'shvuim. He shouldn't go back. We don't want avodim if they know that they're going to be able to free themselves by being taken captive, so everybody's going to want to be taken captive. So therefore, in order that shouldn't happen, we made a gzera that if he's redeemed for the purpose of captivity, for slavery, he goes back to slavery. Amrei v'zir said masnisa amrei kein. The Mishnah seems to indicate this. It says, "Rabo Nason is Domov Umashachro." If his master pays up, this is not our Mishnah, Raku, I'm sorry, it's a Brisa. It says the master pays the money to release him and to release him from captivity, and then releases him from slavery. So lo amar la Rabo. It says only his master can then release him from slavery. Ha'achelo, not anybody else. It seems quite clear that he goes back into slavery as a result of his having been redeemed from captivity, and therefore it's only his master who can then redeem him again. Rabbi Elu B'Shem Rabbi Yosef said, "Bedina ya." He says the exact opposite. The halacha should strictly dictate, "Afilushim ben chorin," even if the slave was redeemed from captivity for the purpose of becoming free, yishtabed, he should go back into slavery nonetheless. V'lama amru, because according to the Karmen Eda, we're saying that captivity does not automatically generate yeush. The original owner does not necessarily originally give up hope just because his Eved is taken captivity. If that's the case, V'lam ramu, why they say where the Eved is redeemed for the purpose of being freed, then he is freed. V'lam ramu lo yishtabe, there's an interesting reason. Shelo lo tzi lo luza al b'nei chayrin, in order that people should not say that avarim who are truly freed are also not freed. In other words, in this case, we made a gzera that this Eved who was taken to captivity and then redeemed, even though he's redeemed, even though he should go back to being a slave, he doesn't go back to being a slave. Why? Because the individual paid redemption money, redeemed for the purpose of his going free, and therefore if you don't actually free him, so other people are going to say, well, all of them who are freed really must not be truly free, and therefore they should all go back to slavery. So therefore we say that this Eved who was redeemed from captivity for the purpose of Cherus, even though technically speaking he should not be considered free, nonetheless in order to protect everybody's reputation, he goes back into Avdus. Rabbi Yossi said, Im Kain, if that's so, then Rav Shin Gamliel does not work out. Don't worry, things will work out, we get to Amud Beis, but Rav Shin Gamliel does not work out. Rav Shin Gamliel mer ben kachu ben kach yishtabed. Shin Gamliel says, no matter what, he goes back into Avdus. Because we are not concerned that just because it goes back to the Avdus, people not going to redeem captivity. No, Jews redeem even slaves. Jews are charged to redeem both Bnei Chorin and Avadim. Now that doesn't work out with this previous statement, because we just said that if he's redeemed for the purpose of Cheilus, he should go free when he gets out of captivity. Yet here it says that regardless, Kodesh Shin Gamliel, he goes back into Avdus. It says, Martin, yes, true. But there's an imaginary Tanakama. This is from the Braisa. There's not a Shin Gamliel in our Mishnah. Oh, there's a Shin Gamliel in our Mishnah, sorry. There's a Shin Gamliel in our Mishnah. There's the Tanakama to a Shin Gamliel. And ain't Tanakadmaya. It's Tanakama holds that way. Tanakama suffer meva mitzunin leave those nechore ve mitzunin those avonim, that Jews do redeem only redeem people who are free, or they're only commanded to redeem people who are free. They're not commanded to redeem avonim. So therefore the Tanakama is the one who says that if you redeem a slave for the purpose of making him free, he's got to be freed. He should go back and be into slavery? No! Because since the Jews are only commanded to redeem free men, so therefore in order to promote the redemption of this slave, we make him free as a result. Now it's interesting because this Tanakhama is going like Rabbi Elah, but not for the same reason as Rabbi Elah. Rabbi Elah himself says that the reason you're freed is because, in order not to be mostly lies and other avodim who are free, that they're really not free. Tanakama says the reason why we free the guy is that it's an incentive to get somebody to pay to release him from captivity. Because I'm sorry, we release the slaves, but they don't they pay for the release of slaves from captivity, for the release of freemen from captivity, but not for the release of slaves from captivity. So for two different reasons, they're both saying the same halachic outcome. Tanakama is saying that the reason why if he's redeemed from captivity for the purpose of freedom, he goes free is because we want to have some sort of incentive to make sure that somebody redeems him. And Rabbi Elah says it's in order not to be motzi laz on other freed slaves, that they are not really free men. But they both achieve the same purpose, that really, even if he should have remained in Eved, when redeemed for the purpose of freedom, he does go free. As opposed to Rabbi Avo, who said previously, Fakert, he said the opposite, that even if redeemed for the purpose of becoming free, he should become a slave. The only reason why he said the opposite of Rabbi Elah. He said, Rabbi Avo had said before, even redeemed for the purpose of becoming a slave, he should go free, but the reason we don't say that is because then all Avadim would find the easy way out of slavery by going and giving themselves over captives. So very basic machlokas. One looks at the bottle half full, one looks at the bottle half empty. Rabbi Avo looks at it as really all Avadim redeemed should remain, should be freed, because of Yeush, Avodah and captives should be free because of Yeush, but in order that Avodim shouldn't take advantage of this loophole, we make sure they remain Avodim. Rabbi Avo and Tanakama hold, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elon, Tanakama hold that all Avodim take the captivity, even redeemed for the purpose of freedom, should remain slaves, but nevertheless we allow them to go free in order either to provide incentive for Am Yisrael to redeem them, or in order to make sure that other freed slaves are not besmirched by association. Okay? Ask me the question in 10 lines. Just wait.
Quick question with Yeush again?
Giving up. Okay? And that's what I'm going to come to again in a couple of minutes. Rabbi Agarita B'Shem Rabbi Shlugi said, regardless, the guy comes back into slavery, regardless of the intent of the redemption from captivity. Rabbi Zima,
it
could be a third party. No, third party.
Third party.
Some good-hearted fellow. Yeah.
If redeeming from being a
captive.
Captivity.
Not from slavery.
Not
from
slavery. Right. So really,
it's good to be a Jewish slave.
So what does that got to do with his? Yeah, he still should be a slave normally. If he's,
that's Rishon Gamliel.
Yeah,
No. But you're not factoring in Yeush. You're not factoring that the owner might have given up hope of ever getting his slave back.
Well, that's they say like, at certain times, at certain not normally all the cases.
Tanakama. I mean, not Tanakama. Rabbi Avo.
No, he doesn't know. You said he doesn't.
You think we believe the owner to tell us when he was in the situation or not? Of course, he wants his slave back. He's going to lie.
He's going.
You think he's honest?
Well, he wants his slave back. He's lost some money to
him. Right. So we don't believe him. We're not going to ask him whether he's going to whether he's misjudged or not.
He'll say he never gave up.
Right.
All the time.
So that's why we don't believe. That's why we won't necessarily believe it. So says Gemara, Rabbi Silvashem Rishon Malevi Omar, he said that Yosef Ben Shaul Ben Rabbi said Hamisyaish Ba'avdo. By the way, most of this is not in the Bavli. Hamisyaish Ba'avdo Ein Rashay L'Shavdo. Somebody who gives up hope on his Evan is not allowed anymore to keep him, to make him work. The Tzorach, this is in the Bavli, name of Shmuel, I think. The Tzorach Lichtov Lo Get Shichur, but he has to get a bill of release. He has to still get, he's called him Ukab Get Shichur. Whose labor cannot be worked, but cannot, has to be released. Why?
He can make it easier for him to get captured, so you're back with that again. You can make it as
right, so that would not be true if a guy was. Yeah. You're right, so that's what our mission says. If they're in captivity, Yeush doesn't work. It has to be that he somehow got lost or something like that.
Somehow got lost and he became a captive. Is that what you mean?
No, not he became a captive. That's what the Avo said. If he became a captive, we're not going to allow Yeush to kick in. But let's say he got lost or fled.
If you got lost,
the Underground Railroad.
Yeah, then the owner didn't give up on that.
No, of course he gave up on that.
But on the captured one, he doesn't give up.
No, he gives up too, but it's a special Gzeira that even though he gave up, he still gets him back.
He still gets him back, yeah, I know.
Yeah. You're running out of tape.
Yeah, I'm out.
So, doesn't talk about Yeush or Lomigas.
Not here, no. So, now, the Tzorach to get Shichur still needs to get Shichur. Why does he get Shichur? In order to allow him to marry Yisroel. Because we're talking about Eved Kanani here, and Eved Kanani is not allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. So he still needs to get Shichur in order to be allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. So it says the Gemara, Shem Rabbi Yochan V'amai Yofel Limdein, Rabbi Yochan said, Yofel Limdein Rabbi Shem Levi. Shem Levi was actually his Talmud, I think. Certainly younger. He taught as well. Where do we learn out the release of slaves? Lomi Isha is not from a woman. My Isha, she's like a woman. Ana Yaitzim Shum Yeush. Her husband gave up on her long ago. But she doesn't give up.
You say the same thing.
Right, it's not good enough, right? She still needs to get.
Who's
There is no Yeush by slave. The Tzara get Shichur, you still have to give a get Shichur. Shimra Baba Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Evet Shaborach Min HaShavuim Eitzel Rabo. It's the same idea, a slave who ran from his captors to his master. And Rabo Lashai L'Shabdo, his master is not allowed to give him to make him work. This is going according to the assumption that he gave up hope on him. However, Tzarech Lichtav Lo Get Shichur. He has to write him a Get Shichur. Rav Hobashem Yochan said, and it seems to contradict this, Omar said, I'm Mafius Abdo, somebody called, declares his Evan Hefker. And Rosh Hashabdo is no longer allowed to make him work. But here it says, V'eino, and here the Korbanate changes Rosh Hashai to Tzarech. V'eino Tzarech Levo Get Shichur. He says, all of a sudden, you don't have to write a bill of release. Why not? Omar Rabbi Zira, Kol Amar Amin Du Tzarech. Everybody says he's got it. Vato Marin, so he says you don't have to, even though you're mafkir him, you would still have to read him write him a bill of release. So if he rejects Revo's tradition in the name Rabbi Yochan, that you don't need a bill of release, you do need a bill of release. Shema, but maybe what you meant to say is Enu Makvo Milocho Pesach. If this Eved is an Orel, normally if you have an Eved who's uncircumcised in your household, you may not eat the Korban Pesach. But this Eved who's an Orel, since you're already mafkir him, so then, the fact that he's an Orel doesn't prevent you from eating Korban Pesach. Why? Because you're not his owner anymore, in the Chesh Mishpat says. So he needs to have the get now for what purpose? For Evan Ezer, in order that he should be able to marry a
Jew.
But as far as your ownership has gone, it's Chesh Mishpat wise, it has been severed and terminated, and therefore you can eat Korban Pesach, even if this Eved does not have a bris milah. Okay? So that's a shem and a makvel and milocha pesach. Tani, like it says, b'kol evet each miknas kesef, any slave of an individual was acquired by money, meaning you have a monetary acquisition of it, umalto, so you can bris mila. B'shosh ovid es rabo makvel locha b'pesach, when he's serving his master, that is a question mishma relationship between the two of them, umakvel locha pesach, that evet who's not circumcised impedes upon him for eating pesach. B'shosh eno ovid es rabo, when he's not serving his master, and a makvel locha pesach can impede upon him from eating pesach. But it was a very feministic gemara. I know very, but it's somewhat of a feministic gemara because it comes out that a woman, it's not. I'll explain. A woman is not owned by her husband because a woman is like an eved after hefker, before get. And it says here that an eved at that point is not owned by his master. Chesha Mishpah wise, he's out. And the lack of his bris milah doesn't impede upon him from eating the Korban Pesach. It's just that for matters which concern procreation, you know, which concern puravu and getting married, for that the get shichur is necessary. So to a woman is permanently in that state of pride, no chosha mishpat ownership, but Evan Ezer, she needs a get in order to be able to remarry. Yes. So a woman is not owned by her husband.
Yes, and that's why giving up doesn't mean anything with a woman.
Right, yeah, right. But give me up doesn't mean anything because you don't own it. That's right.
The Eved can eat without the, he can eat from the Kodesh, from the
carbon?
From the carbon, he didn't have a bris milah.
No. He for sure can't eat if he didn't have bris milah. But if you own an uncircumcised slave, you can't eat the Korban Pesach.
The owner can't eat?
Yeah.
The owner can't eat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the difference with us. Yeah, he
right.
can't eat, of course, but the owner also.
Right.
That's what you mean.
Okay. So it says Gemara. Simeon, now this is interesting Gemara. It's not part of it.
Is that talking about Evelivni?
No, Evelivni. Evelivni, you don't own.
So, why can't. I understand that Halacha, Evelivni, is like a
little lady. Yeah, but he has that bris milah. If a lady would have the capacity to have bris milah, she'd have to have bris milah too. Am Yisrael is called b'nei bris, even if they're women. So you know, it's only that there's no physical thing to circumcise. Okay, simesh de'en of kachas. Interesting question. You blinded both of your slave's eyes at once. Now, normally, if you blind your slave's eye, he goes free. So if you blinded both eyes at once, or he pil shnei shein of kachas, or both, you took out two teeth, and for one tooth he goes out free, but you did both at one time. Yotzei lechevus, he goes free, and you don't have to pay him. Yotzei, but zuach hazu, if you did one after the other, yotzei lechevus b'rishoyin, he goes free on the first one. V'noitzei l'dom b'shnei, for the second one, you got to pay him. So if you did both at b'vas achas, so there you don't have to pay.
Yeah.
But if you did one after the other for the second one, then you pay.
You did two at a time, you have to pay, but the man is useless for so when you made him useless, you have...
That's so what, but he's your Eved.
He's your Eved, I know, but...
Well, he's not yet free, so there's no, you don't owe him anything.
Yeah.
It's a special, halacha. Rabbi Lushem Yishlogi said the interesting thing, though. This is very fascinating. He says, Kamadhar enot tzarech lichtav lo get shichur. That's true, according to the opinion that you don't have to write a get shichur, so then he's free after the first eye, and you pay him for the second eye. But according to the opinion, you still have to have a bill of release. You're going to pay him? He's not yet fully free. So this really flies in the face of what we've been learning until now. He's in a mukav get shichur, you still have a chayshen min rishman relationship with him, right? This is Reish Lakish, not Rabbi Yochanan, right? Reish Lakish is saying that you still have a Chosh Mishra relationship, and therefore, even for the second eye, as long as you haven't released him, you're still potter. You don't have to pay the Eved. It's a big Kiddush, right?
It's
not a big Kiddush. Once you learn Rabbi Yochanan, or it is Rabbi Yochanan.
It seems that the injury to the first eye automatically causes his release, so you don't need to get you.
Not according to Reish Lakish.
Yeah,
that's Reish Lakish's whole point.
No, he can't say that because the Torah says that he's released, so you can't say that. He can't say that because the first
Reish Lakish does say that.
Well, it just doesn't make sense.
It sure makes sense.
He says
there's still Choshen Mishpat ownership. Once you take out the eye, you have a mitzvah to release him.
You have to release
him. You have to, but you didn't yet.
You didn't give him the release paper.
Yes. The truth is, you know, now that I think about it, it's not necessarily Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that it's as if he's free, it's only a case where you personally were misyoyish from him. But where you knocked out his eye or his tooth, you weren't misyoyish from him. The Torah says, now release him.
Yeah.
So it's a mitzvah upon you to release him. It's even that when you yourself were misyoyish or hefker, in that case, you yourself were makne him already by your yeish or hefker to himself. But here the Torah says, now we're compelling you to release him. Rabbi Yochanan can read this halacha as well. Right, Rameir?
Sounds right.
Yeah, so it's not an necessarily machlokas. There's a difference between chain vine, which are compel you to release, and yeish hefker, you yourself have already begun the process. Okay. What?
Yeah,
mitzvahs and said release. It's a good way of putting it. Yes, it's a mitzvah that says that we can claim for now mitzvahs, but it didn't yet happen. Now, the thing is here that the catch is that I'm not sure that it fits necessarily with this next part of the story, because here it says, that's true if he goes out by a tooth or an eye. I know if he went out by an improper get shichur. It's not a proper one. You wrote a get shichur on a yarmulke, this is a kipasruga, and you, so not kidding, that's what it says here. It's a kipasruga. A kipasruga only, this is a very interesting play on Kipasuga. I don't know exactly if we consider this romantic. It wasn't his girlfriend knitting him for him, but it was his master knitting him a get shichur into the Kipasuga. So that was, it's, because there might be a lot of money to be made in this field. So, Minayin Ayotzi, the Kipa, somebody goes out with this knitted yarmulke, Ubehar Hanik, and Tianus, these are all types of decoration where a person puts decorative things, where a person puts into these garments, get cherus, or the cherus shamalachim. How do we know in all these cases that according to the Pnei Moshe, works in and of itself, according to Korban Eda, you have to give a get shukor after these things. It's a big machlokus, actually. Korban Eda says that these things, for some reason, themselves don't work. Korban Pnei Moshe, they do work.
What?
So,
what's that? What doesn't work? He said
the kipasruga with the get shukor.
That way, because
it's not a document. So it expresses the master's will, right? And therefore, it's like yeish.
Because it's not signed by witnesses or something like
no,
that?
No, it's not a document. It's not. Paper on carbonator.
Well, he's writing on
you're right. The Pnei Moshe says it's talking. It's two different shards in the choir.
Writing on the album. So
it's not writing. Carbonator
is. What's the reason why it has to be a document?
Because it has to be like a get.
So what's wrong with the Yamaki?
We never saw that a gap could be something like this. That's be pen and paper. A parchment.
So this Yamaki is
cool, it could be written on a cloth. It's gotta be written, not woven.
So it's written on the Yamaki, so what's wrong with
it? It's
that?
Not written, it's woven.
It's woven on the Yamaki.
It's not called a document.
Oh.
So that's a Korban Ada learns. Okay, Moshe learns that Taka works. Look, I can't argue with you. So it's a big machlokas here whether it works. According to Ada, this is like Yeush, and they need to get you for afterwards. Korban Moshe, this works in and of itself. I think the Korban Ada is right, though. Anyway, so Talmud Lomar Chav Shishachen Mikol Makom. No matter how the process begins, afterwards we continue with it. Now, here's a very cool question, and this is not in the Bavli either. But the Kippur case, I don't think it's in the Bavli either, but this case is certainly not in the Bavli. But of mine. What if, it's an amazing question, what if he has kids, he conceives kids when he's in this intermediate state between Yeush and Mu'uk of Get Shichur? Now, the Chasm Sefer has a very practical question on this. He says, who's he having kids with?
His wife.
What wife?
The wife, the master gave him a wife.
No, he's an Eved Kanani.
He's an Eved Kanani, so the wife...
He doesn't have a wife. Eved Kanani have no wives.
Didn't it say that the master can...
That's an Eved Ivri.
That's an Eved... Oh, the master can't touch you, do anything with...
No, he sure he can, but he has no wives. There's no issues. He has no... He can't contract marriage of any sort.
Eved Kanani has a wife going into when he was born.
Eved Kanani can have relations with anybody, with shiksas, with anybody he wants. Well, not with Jews. I mean, the Jews are not have relations with him. He have relations with shiksas or with shvachos Kananios.
He came in with
that's
wife.
All. That's the question is now. Look, it. The Gemara is obviously trying to isolate an issue. How the concept is barred by how do we isolate the issue, right? Because we want to talk about his status, how his status impacts on his kids, divorced from the issue of his wife or his concubine or his mistress's status. So the most positive way of learning it is that there's a similar woman in a similar situation, and they cohabit together. I don't know. Chasam Sefer gives all sorts of other alternatives, but that's the most simple way of understanding it. There's a woman in a similar situation. So he lives with a woman who's in a similar situation to herself, to himself. They both were after Yehush before Get Shichur. So what's the status of their kids? So the Gemara says, very interesting dichotomy, where it says, Hayetze b'shein v'ayin, and this really fits into what we said in Reish Lakish a few minutes ago. Hayetze b'shein v'ayin, if he had an eye or tooth knocked out, bana v'avodim, so kids he conceives between the time that his eye or tooth is knocked out and the time it's released, they're avodim. Why? Because he's an Eved. There's a mitzvah to release him, but he's an Eved. So his kids are up on him. Mishum Yeush. But if he now is in the state of after Yeush, before he gets Shichur, Barab Nechorin, his kids are free. It's an amazing concept. Because really, now, all the kids all need a Get Shichur too. Don't get us wrong. But they are free men in terms of there's no Cheshen Mishpat onus upon them. Why? Because their parent was already born into the semi-free status. Okay? So it's interesting. We never found in the Bible such a thing. But in the Yerushalmi, there's a status between Yeush and Get Shichur, which is Cheshem Mishpat freedom, even though Ebenezer, there's an issue. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yossi Beribur. It doesn't say, I would assume so, but Lapta, I don't know what's going on. By the way, Get Shulchan is not written the same way. A Get is pure, Get can be purely a legal document. It doesn't have to say how Reyat or Mut or anything like that. Just be a document stating that he is now released.
If Kanani has a child with a lady, but she's not an Evid, so you mean the child is or is not an Evid?
The child? Yeah. She, the child is, depends who the woman is. That's all Chasm Sefer's issue.
She's a Kanani, but not an Eved Kanani. She's a Kanani, too.
No, then the kid is an Eved Kanani. The kid then belongs to the master.
The kid, even though the one that the lady is not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. Now, I'm Rabbi Yisrael Bruna. Yisrael Bruna's sheet is very interesting. He sort of tries to flip around. He says, "Lo mistabra." It makes no sense what he said. Chilufin. On the contrary, let's say the opposite. Hayeitim b'shein v'ayin. If he's had an eye or tooth knocked out, hol v'shichrato teira. A teira, since the Torah released him, so then bana b'nei chorin, his kids are free. The kids conceived between the tooth in the eye being knocked out and the Beget Shichur, he wants to say, are free kids, because his release is compelled by the Torah itself. But if the evidence is going out because his master was misyoish, since the Torah didn't release him. Now, I'm with Yerushalayim Baal, I want to say his release is the Rabbanan, but I don't like that. It means since it's a personal release, contingent on the master, so therefore Bana Bavadim, the kids are Avadim until they get Shichur.
So
he wants to say the exact opposite. No. So if the release is the Raisa because of Shein V'ayin, so then kids can see between the Shein V'ayin and the get are free. But if the release is generated not by the Torah, but by you as an individual, by your Yeush, so kids can see between the Yeush and the get Shichur are far enslaved. Fascinating machlokas. The polar machlokas, okay? None of which is in the Bavli. I like the first approach better. It's more lomdish that Yeush is released both Shevai, which is a compelling mitzvah. But Rabbi Yossi Rabun obviously was not in the same camp as I am on this issue. Okay.
What are you going to say that Yossi Shevai, the Shekhar Satorah, it's only because Bezdin
Hefker,
right? Why? I'm trying to say that the second opinion, I really don't understand it.
Oh, you don't understand it?
No.
Yeah.
What's going to be the logic for saying Shein V'ayin that you're free? It says Shechras HaTorah. That's not the way the Torah doesn't make you free. It commands it to be free. So the only thing you can then say is Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Because the Torah says commands you to be free.
No, not necessarily. You could say some variation of Koma Adomra Achmara Lo Savi Yavi Lo Mahani. It's not the same thing, but if Torah said... The Torah said, he's released. Shema is automatic release. Even though the first chapter obviously sits better with our Lomdus, but all right. Now, we're not finished with this issue. We're going on the variation of things. Ger Shemes, a ger died. He had no heirs. Ubiz Bezu Yisroel Snuchas of the Jews came and they fought over and the division of his property, right? Because everything he owns is now
free.
Hefker, right? Vayu Shama Vayim, and among his property were slaves. Bank Dolan, Bank Dani, Biotzu Lucheris. So whether they're adults or children, they go free. Why? Because when they become Hefker, they then are Zolchin themselves, and they go free. Abishalom Gedolim Yatzucheres, if they're adults, they go free. Ketanim Lo Yatzucheres, if they're minors, they don't go free. Lama, why do they go free? Shein Yatzim Yisus Rabban, because their master died. Me'at, if that's the case, ask Gemara, Filu, even, it should be, Korban changes Ketanim, even the children should go become free when their master dies. Rabbi Borva said, "Gedolim Aydei Sheish Bem Das." The adult slaves, since they have Das, these close assassins to acquire themselves, Yotzuches, they go free, because when they become Hefker upon their master's death, they acquire themselves. Kitanim Aydei Sheish Bem Das, these close assassins, the children, since they have no Das to acquire themselves, Lo Yotzuches, they don't go free. Rabbi Levi says, "Lo Yotzuches, Rabbi Shol," who draws the distinction between the Gedolim and Kitanim. Right? Says Mar Machabashi Tasir Rabbi Shua. We have a contradiction, Rabbi Yeshua. Tamar Amar Rabbi Simon Shem Bishum and Levi. The Rabbi Simon said, name of Shem and Levi. Rabbi Yosef and Shol and name Rabbi Yosef and Shol. Bishem and Rabbi Yosef and Shol said, Bishem Rabbi, name say Rabbi. Hamis Yash may have to. Some he loses hope of getting his slave back. And a Rashai Lusha Beit Bo. He can no longer subjugate him. Now, here's a little bit missing, and we have to do a little bit of cut and paste here. And it should say here, according to Kvitzoyach Lichtov lo get shichur, but he still requires a get shichur. Now, also, you have to cut and paste two lines hence, it says, and three lines hence, down, it says, Shemana dom Rabbi Yochan, Yofalim den Rabbi Shulman Levi, see that? We heard that Rabbi Yochanan said, and that the Shulman Levi said, good, that actually should be up here, because that's what it said on Chav Beis and Beis. Rabbi Yochanan liked Rabbi Shulman Levi's Svara, that after Yeush, there's no Chesh Mishmah, but you still need to get Shukra. Now that's one thing we said, named Rabbi Shulman Levi. But here the question is, that here Rabbi Shulman Levi, or it says here Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Shulman Levi seems to hold the opposite. Because over here, Rabbi Shulman Levi says, he says like Abba Shol, does he actually appear here? Yeah, he says look like Abba Shol. Because here it says look like Abba Shol, which means that the Ketanim are not Zoichen themselves, right? Well, at the Ketanim don't go free. Why don't they go free? What about Yeush? Here, there's no greater Yeush than death. Right, so why didn't they go free? So it's a contradiction. So it says the Gemara, Amrin, they responded. That which Rabbi Yeshua said is, here it says L'shabed, but the Meshbiach changes, and I want to change a little bit different than the Meshbiach, that Bimshabdo. It says, it depends if there's a master or not. That's a pretty cool, pretty neat distinction. It's, if there's a master, if there's a master, as opposed to if there is no master, meaning if the master died. Where there's a master, I'm sorry, no, I got the question wrong. I'm sorry. The question is the opposite. Sorry. The question is that over not, why don't the client go free? But if I can't, why don't the Gedolim require a get shichur?
What's that?
Why don't the Gedolim require a get shichur? It was where the evidence, the contradiction is that in the case of the after Yeush, you need to get shichur. He still needs to get shichur. But here, by the ger who died, there is no get shichur necessary. Why not? Why in one case get shichur necessary, and in the other case get shichur is not necessary? So then that the Gemara answers. It depends if there's a master or is no master. If there's a master, get shichur is necessary. But if there is no master, get shichur is not necessary. And what's the difference? So he says,
if there's no master, then there's no master, how can there be a slave? So he wouldn't be able to get shichur anyway.
If there's no master. That's not true. Because an Eved could become, after his master's death, he could become like a posel kol forever. There is such a concept. Posel kol.
What is that?
Somebody who's never left a married Jew. He could remain in turtle status of Eved. He's like a mamzer. They find things like that throughout Shas. He's like a mamzer. There's a concept called Eved. Avdei Shlomo is the concept in the Gemara of the Avodim of Shlomo who never released, who remain forever and ever Avodim. Now we no longer know who their masters are. But they remain Avodim because they were never released. So it's not necessarily true. But that the Gemara does say that would be the Avodim. The Gemara does say what you're saying, though. Mara says here, Rishua said, you need to get Shichas B'Shabda where there is a master. The lo yoev, if he doesn't give a shichur, he hasn't given one. Maybe in such cases, alochel maishim misinai, that he's still considered to be technically an evan. However, over here, rhetorically, go get shichur, and evan says right to get shichur. V'acha, however, who amara chayin, here he says that you don't need to cry get shichur, skipping the part which we cut and paste before, because dim alochel abashol. That it's maybe a little like Abba Shol, that in case that there is no master, the Eved is Zocha in himself, and then he goes free without a Get Shichur. So maybe when there's a master, that's the Halacha. They still consider being Meshuvah until there is a Get Shichur. But there is no master, it's like a woman, right? In fact, the more I'm going to say that later on, I think explicitly, or I saw maybe somebody who says it explicitly, that it's like a woman, just like a woman, she goes out in two ways, either Get or Nisa Sabal. So to hear this, Eved goes see if there's still a live master. Halacha, he's got to get a get, just like if there's no master anymore. So then Misa Sabal suffices. Okay, now it's dafka by a ger, by Avdei Shlomo didn't work because the ger has no heirs, and that's why when the ger dies, so the guy can be zeichen himself. But if it's an Eved of a regular Yisrael, even if he dies, the Avdus goes on to the next heir. So therefore, the fact that his master dies will do him no good. Okay? You can't inherit a wife unless you're a Yavam, but you can't inherit an Eved. Yes.
It could be the same thing even if it wasn't only a problem of Ezra, and not Joseph.
I don't understand what
you're asking. He only needed get the silver. So there's the case where he knocks out the tooth, where the case where he needs to get.
He needs to get no matter what. Both have to use.
It's only a problem for evidence.
Yeah.
So in that case, he could also be there for himself if the evidence does, if the gear does.
Right. That's what we're saying.
So
we're
saying even in the case of that?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. It's only if there's a master around, he still needs to get. Okay? Says the Gemara, Amsid Rabba Bar Zucha Arkus. Rabba Bar Zucha's slave, and she was a woman, fled. Yisyaish Miran, he was Misyaish. They gave up hope. Asa Shal Rabbi Chayin Rabbi Shimon Levi. So they came and asked Rabbi Chayin Rabbi Shimon Levi. Amar and his... So it says, Omalei, he says it's proper to her. In Kosafta, Yehu Safta of it.
Does he have to write her again? So what is
he doesn't have to, but he should. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Why is it the right thing to do?
Because it's how ethically, once she got the Lemaisa, she's free. So even though she... It's your problem.
I can marry somebody else.
No, I'm not the master. The Vasisa Yoshevatov, the right thing to do now is to write again. So nobody can compel you to write against your. If you want out of spite, leave her in that status of non-entity for the rest of her life. You can do so, but that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is write against your. Okay, Rabbi Chaim Shem Rishmo said. Rabbi Yossi said. Eved Shenasa Bas Chayin Lifnei Rabo. The Eved who married a free woman in front of his master, Yotzei Chayrus. If the master didn't make a mechah, so it's a tacit release. Because obviously he did. Otherwise he should have made a mechah.
Well, wait. He married a free woman and...
And his master didn't say boo.
The object.
Right.
What do you mean? The woman is a Kanani?
No, a free woman.
Oh, she married a free woman.
He.
A guy, but it's a guy. He married a free...
No. A free Israelis.
He married a free Israel.
Come on, guys. The Eved Kanani married a free Jewish woman.
Okay. Yeah.
So the master was there. He was the best man. He was the ring bearer.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't protest. That's indication that he's willing to release him. He still needs to get shichur, but in itself, that's like yeush. Okay? That's what we're saying. Amar Rabbi Yochan said, yesterday I learned, I was sitting and learning, HaKosef K'sav Kiddushin Lavdo, if somebody wrote for his Eved, a star to be Mekadosh a woman, or wrote a star for his Amma to be Mekadosh. Rabbi Omer Zocha, Rabbi said that's in and of itself like a bill of release. Chomer Lo Zocha, Chomer said it's not like a bill of release. This which says that if he was present and ready, it is like a bill of release. I ain't Tana Kadmaya, this Tana Kama, Savak Rabbi obviously holds like Rabbi Zocha, that being at the wedding isn't of itself like a bill of release. Okay, it says Gemara, Mi Meshachre. It's going back to the Mishnah. You have an Eved, who's taken to captivity. He's redeemed by a third party. And so now we compel a release. According to Tanakama, we compel a release. Who releases? It's a fascinating Gemara. Rav Amar Ben Rav Rishon Ben Rav Sheni. It makes no difference. Either one can release him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ein lachem shachar Rabbi Rishon Bevad." The original master, not the one who redeemed him, is the one who releases him. Hasib Rabbi Chagai, Kum Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chagai asked for Rabbi Yosi. Masisa pliga Rav. Our mission seems to argue a Rav, not our mission, a different mission. And this is a Gavaldi classic Yerushalmi, guys. This is classic. listen to this connection. How this brisa which argues on Rav. It says Yisrael shehilva es goy alchemto. A Jew loaned money to a goy on his chometz. He made the chometz collateral for the goy. So that's like mechiras chometz. Achar Pesach muter ba'ano. After Pesach, it's the chometz is permitted on no. The Jew can derive benefit from it. Why? Because I made a mistake. Sorry. Yisrael loaned money to the goy, and the goy made it collateral for the Jew. Sorry. Apologize.
The Yisrael?
The Yisrael loaned money to a goy, and the goy gave Muhammad his collateral.
Oh.
But over Pesach. So the collateral does not belong to the Jew. So that's why after Pesach, the Jew can collect the chametz and use it. It's not chametz shavuah over Pesach.
You want to the
guy or it's guy, yeah. You loan money to Mr. Natural Ovens of Manitowoc,
yeah.
And he put on his collateral his natural ovens rolls to you,
yeah.
Right? Over Pesach. You could sleep the rolls after Pesach because it wasn't Chometz Shavuah Pesach because although his collateral wasn't owned by you.
Even if it was in your possession?
Yeah, it was in your possession. It's still only collateral, designated collateral. So, it says the Yerushalmi. Right? If you're going to say it belongs to the Yisrael, it would be forbidden, right? Ma avid lei Rav. What's Rav going to do with this? What's the question? Rav said that in our Mishnah, either master can release the slave. Either master number one or master number two. That means, what I'm talking about here, Eved was taken into captivity by the goy, right?
Yeah.
And the goy then was released to the second master.
Because the second master redeemed.
Second master redeemed him. And that must mean that when the goy has it, that means when the goy gives it to the second Yisrael, it could become already the second Yisrael's, right? And the goy's holding it for the second Yisrael and then releasing the second Yisrael makes it the second Yisrael's. So let's say the same thing by the chametz, that the goy holding for the Yisrael and then releasing it for the Yisrael, it becomes the Yisrael's, retroactively becomes the Yisrael's. So then it should be chametz shavuah Pesach. I think I got that right. One second.
But the collateral isn't really the Yisrael's. He's just holding it until the loan is repaid. The Eved is still belongs to the first master, first Yisrael.
That's not according to Rav. That's Rav's point. Rav says Ben Rabo Rishon, Ben Rabo Achram. Ben Rabo Sheni can release him. How could that be? How can the Rav Sheni release him? It must be that the goy designation of this Eved for the second Yisrael, at one point when the second Yisrael paid off the goy, right? He had paid off the captor. So at that point, the captor now is holding on to the Eved for the second Yisrael. And that's why the second Yisrael can actually be considered to be the owner to release it. So that must mean that the goy, by directing this Eved, which he's holding on to, away from the first master and towards the second master, actually gives ownership away from the first master to the second master. So if that's the case, if a goy is holding on to your chametz for you, he should, because it's designated collateral, it should be considered to be your chametz. And it should be usher after Pesach. Just like the goy holding on to the Eved.
Right?
He's designated for the second Yisrael, and that works. So to the goy holding on to the chum, it's designated for the Yisrael, it should work. And that should be considered like you own it. It's an amazing comparison Yerushalmi is making. It's mind-boggling. So that's Yerushalmi saying, just like over there, by us, the Eved is designated by the goy to the second Yisrael, that gives the second Yisrael ownership to the point that he can be the one to release the slave. So to over there, with the goy is designating the chum, to the Yisrael should be considered to be the owner, there should be a chametz shavuah over Pesach. Amazing comparison, right? I mean, obviously any one of us would not make this comparison, but the Yerushalmi does. And the Yerushalmi gives an answer. Says the Yerushalmi, it's a valid comparison, but what's the difference? So says the Gemara, Ma'avid le'Rav, Rav Yehuda, what does Rav do with this comparison? Rav Yehuda, kalu b'shichur. Amazing statement. He says, by shichur, we're much more lenient. And this is an amazing concept. It's really a metaphysical concept. In other words, even though the second master doesn't really own him, since he has a grip on him, what's the grip? Because he paid the money for him, his shichur, shichur is such a powerful tool that even though it's not true ownership, it's just like an affiliation, an affinity. That's enough to start the process. Once shichur starts, then even if it's a very small foothold, even a tenuous, questionable foothold, boom! The shichur becomes complete. It's like we say by kachin, pashta kedusha bekula, right? If you're mekadosh an aver of an animal, the entire animal might become kadosh. So too, if you give an eved the status of a full Jew, which is what shichur really does, that even to a small, on a small beachhead, that immediately expands the entire way. And that's where Rav also really tackles the second guy doesn't really own it. And that's why in terms of Chomet Shavu LePesach, it's not Chomet Shavu LePesach. But he has an affiliation with it. And that affiliation is enough of a beachhold for Shichur to begin. And when Shichur begins, it expands. Okay? So it's a very, very fascinating concept. It really has to demonstrate how powerful Shichur is. That if you can give somebody a whiff of Judaism, you can immediately become a full Jew. That's what it's happening.
Anything else to make it to widen the hole?
Is there anything else to widen the hole? No. That's in of itself. Kal b'shura kladata, they always said, look at this. It's interesting, a parallel. The tani osa avdo apotike. If somebody makes his eved designated collateral to somebody else, machro, you can't sell him. And a machro, because it's designated collateral. Shichro b'shuchor. But if the first master releases him, he is released. Why is that? Because shichur is a much more powerful tool. Right? So how does Rabbi Yochan argue? Rabbi Yochan says, no, only the first master release, not the second one. So he says, Rishigam Leomer says, his proof is from here. It says, Rishigam Leomer, Eino Kosev Ela Meshacher. The only person who can write the document to release a slave, this is a quote from our Mishnah, is the person who releases. Right? The person who releases means there's only one, sounds like only one person can release. Who is the person who releases? Must be the first master, because he has the true ownership. Okay, so it says right now, Ilam Meshabit Sodel Chaveron, this is a question, Rabbi Yochan. If somebody put a field under lien to his friend, V'hadar Mevaholach Mechara Chara, and then he went and sold it, Shema Ein Baal Chov Bovitarif, doesn't the Baal Chov come and grab it back? So here, the second master has rights. Why can the second master come and demand the Evet, right, the one who paid for him? Rabbi Avoh, Rabbi said, Pasach and Rabbi Yochan and Pesach. Rabbi Yochan opened for us an opening from Pasach Rabbi Meir Bidah, from that which Rabbi Meir opened up, but which is Lomatzinu Eved Mishtachar V'chozim Mishabid. That's true normally. If you sold the field, which was under lien, so then lien holder comes and takes it. But that's not true by Shichur, by releasing a slave. Once you release the slave goes free. Okay? No matter what. Says, because it can't go back into subjugation. So that case, me'ato lo yichtov lo shtar al damav. So why does he ever have to write an IOU to the second master? The first master released him fair and square, so let him go thumb his nose at the second master. Say, I don't know you a thing. You go to my master, but I don't know you anything. Says, Marabila said, it's an eighth of toiva for the Eved. Mutav, it's better for the Eved, that better that you should acquiesce and give the 200 zuz which the second master is claiming and not have the second master go around saying this guy is my avid, this guy is my avid, because that looks bad. So then he won't get a shidduch that way. So therefore we say better that you should pay.
Who pays?
The avid pays for his own.
He hasn't got any money, the avid.
Well, he'll make it.
Eventually.
He writes an IOU. Eventually he'll make the money. Shingamil says the first master reimburses the second master. Why does he have to reimburse the second master? It's like Ramer. What Ramer? Kamaramer, Kornasid Varamer, the boss says, when it says here, Ramer finds a person for his words, what it means is Ramer is done Dina de Garmi. Rameir says, when you cause a person a loss directly, you have to pay for it. And here, too, the first the first the master caused a direct loss for the second master by releasing the slave.
No, you gave up on him, did you say, or he didn't give up. The first master gave up on him anyway, you say, right?
Yeah, but he still gets to release him because a little bit of a shichur works, right? Because he still has mukav get shichur from the first one, and the second one's the one who paid for it. So that's called don dina degarmi. Right, direct cause. A classic case with that, which we had recently in the other Daf Yomi, is if I have a shtar chov on somebody, right, and I sell you my shtar chov, and then I moichel that shtar chov which I sold you. So my mechila works, but according to the Meir, don dina garmi, I have to reimburse you because I caused you the loss that you invested in the shtar which I was then moichel. So too the same thing. Here, Shigamil Kornis Bitvan Shigamil says the first master who released has to reimburse the second master who paid for the heaven. The Tani we learn, now this is really not a non sequitur, this raya here, but it's just a raya that a mayor it goes very far in finding, and this is a shtickle of raya to those the Rishonim. It's not a shtickle, it's a big raya. Those Rishonim will say that don dina garmi is a knas. So many Rishonim argue that Ramban is all kuntras dina d'garmi. What exactly the base of dina d'garmi is? So here it sounds like it's a knas, and because we bring a raya from the following knas which Rameir makes, Rameir holds very much of knosos. Rameir said shtar sheish bo ribis konsin osov eno gove loas akerim veloas ribis divi rabbi Meir. If you loan money on interest, not only do they make you lose the interest, but they also make you lose the principal. You only collect the principal, you only lose the ribbis. So here we see that the Gemara really makes, according to Ridbaz's interpretation, a connection between Dina the Garmi and finding the fellow who did a misdeed. It's a similar concept. Okay, I have Rachmanis on you guys, and on myself a little bit as well. So we'll stop here for this evening.